Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 12, the Bible says these words, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." So Paul is writing this letter to the church of Philippi. That church was established during one of Paul's missionary journeys from the region, the chief city in the region of Macedonia. And he writes this to the church of Philippi. He's writing it to those that are believers, those that have had a time and a place where they put their trust in the Lord. And so he's writing it to believers. And he says, now I am in your, I'm absent from you. There was a time where I was present with you. There's a time now that I'm absent from you. As a matter of fact, Paul writes this book to them while he's spending time in prison, awaiting to stand for his trial. And so Paul is writing this to the church of Philippi, knowing that he is absent from them, but he wants to encourage them with some things. And notice the encouragement he gives to them in the middle part of verse number 12 here. He says, but now much more in my absence, watch how he writes this, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now I want to real quickly take verse number 12 and give you some thoughts about verse number 12 before we move on to verse number 13. Verse number 13 is going to be really our main text or the springboard into the thought, really the main thought that the Lord has put on my heart for the message time and for the service this morning. Notice he says here to the church of Philippi, he says, I want you to work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation. Now, over my many years of ministry, I know that there are a lot of individuals who have taken this Bible verse and they have taken it out of context. Matter of fact, I've had people that have had conversations with me that have taken this verse out of context. The Bible in no way, shape, or form is telling us that we have to work in order to be saved. The Bible says, work out your own salvation, but it's not telling us that we have to work in order to get saved. There are many individuals that are trying to get to heaven that way. And they're trying to get to heaven the wrong way because Jesus is the way. It's not in what we can do. And if we would take this Bible verse and we would say that when Paul says to the church of Philippi, work out your own salvation, and it means you have to work in order to be saved, then we would be taking many, many, many verses that are in the scripture out of context, wouldn't we, if we said it that way? Because the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So that we know that we're not going to get to heaven because of any works that we have done. But then also I've heard people take it out of context in another way. They've said, well, this verse doesn't mean that you have to work in order to get to heaven, but it means that after you've been saved, you have to work for the Lord in order to keep your relationship right with Him, or you might lose it. That is contrary to Scripture as well. The Bible's not telling us that we have to work in order to keep our salvation. We are eternally secure the moment we trust Christ as our Savior. We're never going to lose that gift of salvation that God has given to us. So we don't work for our salvation, and we don't work in order to keep our salvation. The Bible tells us that God is keeping our salvation. He is the one that gives us that security. Now, there are times in which perhaps things stand in the way of our fellowship with the Lord, and we need to get those things dealt with. There are some times in which maybe we're not working for the Lord as much as we should, and we need to get back to that place where we're working for the Lord. But we don't do that, though, in order to keep our salvation. So, what is he trying to say to the church of Philippi then? Notice down at the verse again, he says this, work out your own salvation, he says, with fear and trembling. What he's really telling the church of Philippi to do is to discover why God saved you. Discover why God saved you. What does he want you to do with your life? What does he want you in the work of the Lord to do with your life now that he saved you? Matter of fact, we hear people say it all the time. You know, how are we going to know what God's will for our life is? How do we discover what God wants us to do? Well, there's many answers to that. Of course, one of them is we have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, which we're going to touch on that here in just a moment, so I don't want to get ahead of myself. But the idea is that we can know what the will of God for our life is. And then once we know what it is, once we discover what it is that God wants us to do, the Bible then declares to us that we need to do it to the best of our ability. Discover why God saved you. What is it that he wants you to do in the service of the king? And then do it to the best of your ability. So verse 13 really goes hand in hand with this verse. And this is the verse that I want to challenge you with a thought that God laid on my heart that I hope will be an encouragement to you this morning. Notice how he words this in verse number 13 now. He says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Now let's talk about this verse for a few moments, and then we'll give you some thoughts that God has laid on my heart. Notice it says this, "For it is God." It is God. So God is the one that does what this verse is speaking about here. It's God which, notice what he says next, "which worketh in you." Which worketh in you. That word work has the idea of even energizing and energy that God gives us to do the work that he has called us to do. So it's God that is working through us. Really, that's part of my main thought of my message this morning. Let's go on. It says this, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do." Now the word will there has the idea of the fact that God's going to give us desires. God's going to give you desires. Things that you're going to understand are his will for your life. Desires that he has put in your heart. And we'll touch on that just a little bit as well. How do we know that to be true? Well, the Bible even says, a supporting verse that goes along with this, the Bible says in the book of Psalm, we talked about it this morning in our men's Sunday school class, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." See, God is constantly working in the hearts of believers to be able to help them to understand what God's desires for their life is. As a matter of fact, Romans 12, 1 through 2 sets that up perfectly for us because it tells us that we're to present our bodies to God, a living sacrifice that is holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. In verse number 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life." So there is a perfect will of God for our life, perfect desires that God has for us. And the Bible says it's God that works in you both to will or to give you desires. And then notice this, to do of his good pleasure. That word pleasure could be another way of us saying his will, his good pleasure or his good will for our lives. So the word desire would say that God is, or excuse me, the word will is saying to us that God gives us desires. He puts in our hearts desires, things that he would that are desires that he gives to us. And then it goes on to say to do. He gives us then a willingness to do it. See, the desires that he puts in our heart, it leads then to actions. It doesn't stop at desires. God gives desires, and then he gives us the willingness to go and do the things that he has planted in our hearts as desires. No one could ever say that God has called them to do something that he has not given them the ability to do, or he hasn't equipped them to do it. Here's the thought. We don't wait until God equips us. He calls us and then he will equip us. So he's not looking, he's not only searching out and looking for people that are completely equipped. He's not calling those that are completely equipped. Instead, he calls and then he equips people to do it. So he's letting us know, "I'm going to put desires in your heart." And then he says, "When I put desires in your heart, I'll give you a willingness to be able to do that thing, to be able to accomplish whatever it is that I've given you that's a desire." Now, I'm going to go back to verse number 13. I'm going to read it. I'm going to show you how God spoke to my heart about this and some thoughts I want to give you. Look again at verse number 13. The Bible says this, "For it is God which worketh in you." The thought that I want to give you this morning is this. How is it that God works in our lives? How today could we look at Scripture and say, "God, how is it that you work in our lives?" In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, he says that. It is God that worketh in you. How is God working in our lives today? What measures does God take to work in our lives? And I want to share with you some thoughts that God has laid on my heart. Some thoughts that I hope will be an encouragement today. Maybe some truths that we can find from the Word of God. And I want you to keep the Bible open because I think as we turn to certain passages of Scripture today, there'll be supports and helps to us and encouragements to us as we look at these thoughts. First of all, the first way in which we see God working is found right in this verse. The first thought I want to share with you is this. He works in us. God works in us. Notice how the Bible words it again in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 13. He says, for it is God which worketh. He specifically says it that way. He worketh in you. Number one, I want you to notice God works in us. Now, what does God use in order to work in us? Well, the Bible tells us that God uses the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. We, at the moment that we put our faith and trust in Jesus, had the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, that Holy Spirit that lives inside of us is working in us to do the very thing that God would have for us to do. As a matter of fact, the Bible words it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and then through verse number 20. The Bible says, what? Know ye not that ye are bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, how do we get that Holy Spirit? The Bible says it very clearly in that passage of Scripture that the Holy Spirit, he says, which is in you, which ye have of God. So God was the one that gave the Holy Spirit to us, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We use the word, we are indwelt, or the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. So if God is going to work in me, how does he do that? Well, he does it by the Holy Spirit that works in me. I'll give you some examples of this. When I was 6 years old, God was working in my heart in a Sunday evening service because I needed to be saved. God's Holy Spirit was working in my heart. And I'm thankful he worked in my heart that night. I'm thankful he showed me my need of salvation. The pastor was up preaching a message on a Sunday night. I was sitting in the pew that we would regularly sit in with my family on Sunday night. But that was a special Sunday night, unlike any other Sunday night before that, because that was the first time where I felt God speaking to my heart and drawing me to himself so that I could put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the ways that God's Holy Spirit works in us. He draws us to himself. He draws us to a point of salvation where we will confess our sin, we'll repent of our sin, turn from our sin, turn to the Savior, and rely upon him and him alone for our place, our home in heaven someday. Again, back to the thought that we said at the start of the message, it's not about what I do. It's not about what my works are. And it's not about working to keep what God has given to me. God says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And when God draws people to himself, that's exactly what he's doing. He's allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to their hearts and draw that person to salvation. If you're saved in here tonight, you can remember that time when conviction came your way. You can remember that time when God's Holy Spirit was speaking to your heart. We were at a ministry workers conference yesterday over in Winchester, Virginia, and the pastor got up in one of the sessions that we were in, and he talked about how that he didn't get saved until he was 30 years old. And he said, I grew up in church. He said, I heard the messages all the time, but he said, it wasn't in my heart. And he said, one day I was sitting in a service and God was working in my heart as a 30-year-old man who had sat in church, who had heard many messages, but that was the time, he said, God began to work in my heart. You can go back to that time, if you know Christ, to when he spoke to your heart, when he was working in your heart and he was drawing you to salvation. Then what are some other ways that the Holy Spirit works in our hearts? Not only to lead us to salvation, but to be the soul winner that we need to be. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit work in your heart when your paths cross somebody's path and encourages you as that Holy Spirit that works in us does, encourages you to take advantage of that opportunity to share our faith with somebody? You know, one of the encouragements that I'll say to you as a soul winner is to not allow, I know we have soul winning times around here. I know we have visitation. I know we have an outreach program here in our church, but not to say that those are the only times that we're going to be able to have opportunities to share our faith with somebody, or those are the only times we're going to be able to take the Bible out and show somebody how to be saved. No, we need to make that a lifestyle. And the way that we make that a lifestyle is we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, so that it becomes a lifestyle that when we see people that are around us that have need of salvation, that God's working in our hearts and he's speaking to us and saying, hey, I want you to share the gospel with that person. I want you to be able to take advantage of that opportunity. That's how the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. And then he helps us when it comes to our place of service. Isn't it wonderful to be able to serve the Lord? One of the blessings that I always think about Sunday is that we have the privilege to set aside this day to worship God, but we also have this day set aside to serve the Lord. And I'm thankful for the privilege that I have to serve the one who gave his life for me. The Holy Spirit helps us to serve, doesn't he? It's not about our own strength or our own power. The pianists start relying upon their own strength or power to play the pianos this morning. Those that are providing special music, those that are teaching and preaching throughout the day today, we're not relying on our own strength to serve the Lord. We're relying on the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, his presence and his power to work in our lives. And then how about this? The Holy Spirit can work in us to answer God's call in our life as well. I remember specifically God working in my heart as a young boy after I'd trusted Christ as my Savior, working in my heart to surrender my life to him, working in my heart to preach the Word of God. There were things that God was doing, and God's Holy Spirit, as he was working in me, was helping me to be able to answer those calls. God was speaking to me. He had certain directions and certain ways that he wanted my life to be used, and as God's Holy Spirit was working in me, it was up to me to say yes, wasn't it? It was up to me to say, I'm taking my hands off of it, God, and I'm leaving you in control of the situation. God working in us when he calls us, that we'd be willing to say yes to that call, and then working in us to accomplish his will for our life. Remember, you find out his will, and you do it to the best of your ability. But here's the encouragement. And I told the men this morning in our Sunday school class, because we've been looking at this passage of Scripture in our Sunday school class the last two times that we've met together. Would you take your Bible and would you turn to Romans chapter 8 with me this morning? Romans chapter number 8. And I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse 26 and verse number 27. Because some might be questioning, wait a minute. God works in us and God used the Holy Spirit. But what if we still are at a place where we don't know what God's will is, or we don't know what God wants us to do? Because remember, we read Romans chapter 12 where it talked about the perfect will of God. What if we're at a place where we don't know exactly what those desires that God is going to give us are? Well, here's what the Bible says the Holy Spirit does to help us. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That word infirmities would be another way of us explaining our weaknesses. How many of you know this morning, not answering out loud, but you know this morning you've got some weaknesses? You know you do, don't you? And the Holy Spirit is able to help with those weaknesses. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's God, isn't he? And he's able to help with our weaknesses. And notice what it says. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever been to I asked the men this in our Sunday school class. Have you ever been to a point in your life where you just didn't know what to say when it came to your prayer time? You just didn't even know maybe how to put it into words what you wanted to ask the Lord to help you with. Or maybe what desires he was kind of trying to plant in your heart and you didn't know what to say. Humanly speaking, we could say that really in conversations humanly, can't we? We've said, maybe we come up to a person and they've gone through a terrible time in their life, and we say, I just really didn't know what to say. I didn't know if I had the right words to say to them. Sometimes our prayers can be like that. How do I know that to be true? Because the Bible just said it. There are times that our prayers can be like that where we just don't know what to say. We don't know how to put it in words. Well, we've got the Holy Spirit who's our helper. He assists us in our prayers. And notice how the Bible words it in verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts, that's the Holy Spirit, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the, here's the comfort right here, according to the will of God. You say, well, wait a minute. You're telling me that the Holy Spirit will work in me to help me to accomplish the will of God for my life? Well, how do I know what that is? Well, I promise you, when you pray, God knows what it is, doesn't he? And as you're praying, the Holy Spirit is guiding you every step of the way to be able to know what God's will for your life is so that you can accomplish his will as well. So number one, he works in us. But let me ask you a few questions. How is God working in your life? If you were to answer that question right now, September 29, 2024, how is God right now presently working in your life? I hope he's working in your life in some way. I hope he is. I hope he's helping you maybe perhaps to see spiritual growth in your life. Maybe for some that's sitting in here tonight or this morning, God's working in your life when it comes to your salvation. Maybe you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord and you're like I was when I was a six-year-old and I felt God's Holy Spirit working in my heart. Maybe God's working in your heart, drawing you to himself for the decision of salvation. Maybe there's a decision of spiritual growth that you need to make, and right now God's working in your heart. Maybe some biblical obedience that you need to take, you need to do and you need to accomplish for God's will and to do what he'd have for you to do, and God's working in your heart about that. Maybe somehow in a prayer request or a prayer need that you have. Maybe for some that haven't answered a call. You know God has called you in some way, but you're just hesitant. And you haven't answered that call yet. Can I ask you this morning, how is God working in your heart? Do you sense His leading in an area of your life? Do you sense Him working in your heart? And are you willing to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit when He is speaking to you, when He is working in your life? Number two, I want to encourage you this morning with this. How is God working in our lives? Number one, He works in us. But the second thought I want to give you this morning that the Lord laid upon my heart is this. Number two, He works through us. God works through us. Have you ever had a time where somebody has come up to you as a child of God now, as a Christian, and they've come up to you and they've said this phrase to you. Don't answer it out loud, just consider it in your heart this morning. And they've said this phrase to you, "You were a blessing to me." Now, how can somebody be led to make that statement about you? Because it's God working through you. God is enabling you to be a blessing to somebody. Isn't it wonderful that we've got a God that works that way? He is able to make us a blessing to others. He doesn't just work in us. He is able to work through us. Now, let me show you. Let me have you consider some ways that God works through your life so that you can be a blessing to others. Number one, God works through our lives to show the love of Christ. He works through our lives to show the love of Christ. Again, sometimes you may have been at a place where you've heard the need that somebody has and you say, "I don't even know how to express in words something that I can say in words to be a help to them," but maybe just with some kind of a kind deed, you were able to show the love of God. When you didn't even know if you had the words to say, you were able to show the love of God in some kind of a kind way where God was able to work through you to be a blessing. Now let's prove this. Would you look at John chapter 13 for just a moment? John chapter 13, and look with me if you would at verse number 35. John chapter 13 and down to verse number 35. The Bible says this, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." You know that one of the ways that we can allow the Holy Spirit of God to work through our lives to be a blessing to others is by showing the love of Christ. But then number two, can I ask you to consider this? Not only to be a blessing by showing the love of Christ, but number two, to shine the light of Christ. To shine the light of Christ. You know, we sang it this morning on the bus. "This the light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." We said, "Hiding under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine." But here was the problem. The children didn't respond loud enough. I said, "Wait a minute now. If we're not going to let that light fizzle out, it's going to have to be louder than any no." I mean, we had to sing it a second time. We have to shout out, "Hiding under a bushel, no, right? I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Shine my light till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine." That's what the Bible says in Matthew. Would you look at Matthew 5 with me for a moment? I know that probably many of you that are here today know this verse. But Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 14, we'll start. The Bible says this, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Again, we don't hide it under a bushel. We're not going to want Satan to blow it out. We want that light to shine. So look at what he says, verse 16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Certainly a lot that we could say about that verse. But in passing today, I want to encourage you that if you're going to be a blessing and you're going to allow the Holy Spirit to work through you to be a blessing to others, number one, you're going to have to show the love of God, but you're also going to have to shine the light of Christ. We live in a very dark world today. We live in a world that is full of sin. We live in a world that is confused in many ways. A world that would really turn towards evil a whole lot quicker than they would turn towards righteousness. And this world needs some lights. And they need the child. God needs the child of God to be a light in a dark world. I've said it so many times. It's not necessarily the darkness of this world that can be concerning to us as much as it is the dimness of Christians. The darkness of this world, people are living in sin. And that's all they know to do. But as a Christian, let's not be dim. Let's shine as a light so that God can work through us to be a blessing to others as we shine the light of Christ. But then could you consider this with me? not only are we a blessing to others as we show the love of Christ and we shine the light of Christ, but then as we serve the people of Christ, as we serve the people of Christ. Consider this with me this morning. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 13, the last few words of the verse say this, that we are to serve one another. And I'm thankful, I said it already, I'm thankful for the privilege to serve my Savior. But I'm thankful that as a result of serving my Savior, I'm able to serve people. God wants us to serve one another. One of the ways, again, that we show that we're a child of God is when we're willing to serve one another. We had a Sunday school class get up here just a few moments ago with students that are in third and fourth grade. They had teachers that stood behind them, and they're not the only Sunday school teachers here in our church. We've got Sunday school teachers that are serving others. We've got bus workers that are serving others. We've got some folks that are sitting in a nursery this morning that are serving other people. We've got people that cleaned this building this week. I know who they are specifically. They cleaned the building. They did a fantastic job. They're serving others. Nobody saw them when they were here cleaning the building. You weren't here watching over what they were doing. They were cleaning the building and they were serving somebody else, weren't they? And they are a blessing to us. Why? Because God has worked through them. And that's what God wants to do. He wants us to show the love of Christ. He wants us to shine the light of Christ. He wants to serve the people of Christ. Can I ask you to consider this? And this goes along with our Bible verse that we've been learning this month. Remember we told you we'd come back to that. God wants to use us and He wants to work through us to edify people as well. That word edify is another great way of saying encourage. Let me ask you this. Do you know today, don't answer it out loud now, but do you know today that people need encouragement? People need encouragement. I need encouragement. You need encouragement. The children, the people of God need encouragement. Those that are lost in this world need encouragement. We're living in a world where discouragement can creep up so quickly. We need encouragement, and that's where God's people come in. We're able to be a blessing. God is able to work through our lives to be a blessing to others because we're able to edify those that are around us. You know, the Bible teaches us there are several ways that we can edify people. First of all, it talks about how we can edify people through our words. Now listen, throw out that phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me, because words can hurt, can't they? And God says we are to take our words and they are to be seasoned with salt in such a way that we can edify and encourage people with our words. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 29, specifically it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edification, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Did you know that God can work through you to be a blessing by using you to edify others? And God can use our words to do that. There's another way that God can help us to edify, and it's through faithfulness. We read about that in our Bible verse, haven't we? This month we've been talking about it. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But so much the more as you see the day approaching. And it says in the middle of that verse, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Did you notice that? We've been memorizing it in the middle of the verse, but exhorting one another. What's that saying? By your faithfulness to the house of God, you are encouraging others. You're edifying, you're exhorting, you're encouraging just by your faithfulness in assembling in the house of God. I'll say it this way, you're an encouragement to me when you're here. And I would say if others were to stand up and give testimony, they would say, when others are in the house of God, it is an encouragement to me. And when we see people that are missing, we miss them, don't we? We see people that maybe are in nursing homes now that used to sit in these pews, and we say, oh, we long to have them here again. We want to have them here again. And while God gives you opportunity to be faithful to the house of the Lord, would you do it so that you can edify, encourage, exhort, as the Bible says? And then the Bible talks about specifically how those that work in the ministry are able to exhort as well. The Bible says that God has given some prophets, some apostles, some pastors, some teachers for the work of the ministry. He says it this way, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God is able to use those that are in ministry as well to be able to take that privilege that God has given to them, that calling that God has given to them, and work through their lives to be a blessing as they are edifying and encouraging and exhorting others that are around them. Now, I have a Bible verse I want you to look up. Would you look up 1 Peter chapter 4 with me quickly? 1 Peter chapter number 4, and I want you to look at verse number 10 with me. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10, because here's another way that you can use something that God has given to you to exhort and encourage others. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10, the Bible says this, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What's the Bible saying? The Bible's saying that you can edify and encourage and exhort one another by coming to the house of God and using your spiritual gift. The gift that God has given to you, or we'll say it this way, plural, for some, for many, God has given you spiritual gifts that you can use. Now that's at the point of salvation. That's when you put your faith and trust in Him. He's given you spiritual gifts that you can use for His honor and His glory. What's He saying here in verse number 10? If you've received the gift, so minister. Use that gift one to another to encourage one another. I'm looking out at a church full of individuals and I'm looking out at people that are gifted. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at faces and I can identify even in my mind of ways that I know that God has gifted you. Just by things that you do here in this church. Things that I've watched you do behind the scene where I know that God has gifted you in a special way. And God wants us to come together as a body of believers and be able to use those spiritual gifts to encourage, edify, exhort, build up one another. These are the ways that God works through our lives to be a blessing to people. Not just working in us, but working through us as well. Are you familiar with the name Barnabas? Barnabas in the New Testament of our Bible was a man who was known for being an encourager. That's what he was known for. He encouraged the people of God. Maybe God would use you in that way where you'd say, I just want God to use me to be an edifier, to be an encourager. Somebody that God can work through and work in so that I can be a blessing to others and be like a Barnabas where I'm encouraging. So let me ask you some questions. Are you allowing God to work through you? Are you allowing God to work through your life so that you can be a blessing? Is there something in your life that is hindering you from being able to allow God to work through your life? If so, identify that today. Ask God for His help. He wants to work in you. He wants to work through you. Would you consider number three with me this morning? Number three, not only does God want to work in us, God wants to work through us, but I want you to notice number three, God works, He also works around us. He also works around us. Now let me ask you to consider this. God works in your life, God works through you, but God also uses other people that are around you to be a blessing to you. Now we're talking about opposite, aren't we? See, you are able to be a blessing to others, but God is working through the people and maybe perhaps even the circumstances of your life, the things that are going on around you in your life. His hand is working in every area and His hand is working in every detail with people and circumstances that come in our lives so that we can identify this thought of God's working, that He is working around us. Now let me prove this to you quickly. Would you go to Galatians 6 with me? Galatians chapter 6. And I want you to notice verse number 2. It's a very familiar verse. Matter of fact, I've quoted it many times from the pulpit here, but I wanted you to see it. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2, the Bible says this, bear ye one another's burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens. The Bible's saying that one of the responsibilities that we have is to bear the burdens of one another. By the way, there are burdens, there are times of burden that we all face, aren't there? Maybe it's through the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's through a challenge that's going on in our lives physically. Maybe a challenge that's going through our lives financially. Maybe emotionally or spiritually speaking, we're facing some kind of a burden. Well, the Bible says those that are working around you, if they're doing what God asked them to do, they bear the burdens of people as a whole. Then the Bible also gives us another comforting verse. I know we've looked at it many times. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible says this in verse 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The idea is this. God uses people around us to be a help to us, to be a blessing, to be a comfort to us. But can I ask you to consider this? When we think of this idea of God working around us, always remember this goes both ways. We're trying to let God work through us so that we can be a blessing to others. But God also, when He knows we need help, when He knows we need encouragement, when He knows we need comfort, because we're not always the encourager. Sometimes somebody else is the encourager to us. And that's God's way of working around us in the people and the circumstances that He has His hand and control upon to show us encouragement and help and blessing right when we need it. So it works both ways, doesn't it? God wants to work through you to be a blessing to others. But God is working around you as well so that others can be a blessing to you. Can I ask you this? Are you allowing God's people to be a blessing to you? One of the things that my wife and I bring up as a joke all the time about her grandfather is if he ever tries to help you and you turn him down, he says, "Do not rob me of a blessing." He says, "I want to be a blessing to you, and I don't want you to rob me of being a blessing." He says that to us all the time. And then we say, "All right, we'll take whatever you want to give us." He wants to be a blessing. And we're saying, no, that's okay. We don't want to be a burden to you. He says, "Don't rob me of being a blessing." You know, are you allowing God's people to be a blessing to you, a help to you? If God's put something on somebody's heart around you, maybe perhaps it'd be a good thing for us to just say, "Hey, we'll let them be a blessing to us. We'll let them try and encourage and help us when we need that time of encouragement." God works in us. He works through us. He works around us. One last thought with one last verse and we'll be done. God also works for us. Isn't it wonderful that God works for us? We have a God that's working for us. The Bible talks about it a little bit in Romans chapter 8. Would you take your Bible and look at Romans chapter 8 with one last verse that we have this morning, and then I'll ask you to consider the way that God has spoken to your heart today. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28, the Bible says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." The greatest way I can summarize that verse is that I serve a God who makes no mistakes. The Bible says it this way in the book of Psalms, "As for God, His way is perfect." God makes no mistakes, does He? And God is constantly working for you. Now, I know that sometimes when circumstances seem a little out of hand, we may think God is working against us. But God's not working against us at any point. God is working always for us, isn't He? And the Bible says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God is always making sure that things are working out for us. I'll say it this way. It's the easiest way to summarize this. It's working out for our good and for His glory. See, it's what's best for me, and it's so that He gets the glory. As a matter of fact, we talked about this morning in our Sunday school class, how that God has commanded us to pray, and one of the commands that He gives us to pray is to call out to Him when there's time of trouble. He is going to deliver us, and then the Bible says this at the end of the verse, and then we're going to be able to glorify Him. So we call out to Him, He delivers us, so it's for our good, and then we get to glorify Him, it's for His glory. Isn't it great how God works for us in our lives? Probably the greatest illustration we could ever use of this is the life of Joseph. Back in the spring quarter in our church here, I taught a lesson for those that were in our adult Sunday school class and they attended this group of teaching lessons. We taught about the life of Joseph. And the key verse that we always go to for the life of Joseph is Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. It looked like God was working against him. I mean, here's a man who had brothers who hated him. They were jealous of him. They threw him in a pit. Then they pulled him out of that pit. The Bible talks about this in the book of Genesis. Threw him out, took him out of that pit, sold him into slavery. When he got into slavery, he was being tempted by Potiphar's wife. He fled, and as a result of that, he was put in prison. He met some prisoners, interpreted their dreams, told one of them that was going to be given life and restored to a position that he wanted him to remember him, and he forgot about him. 2 years more, he spent time in prison. We would have thought God's working against him. It doesn't sound like he's working for his good and for his glory. But he was, wasn't he? Because God is never working against us. He's always working for us. It may not always look that way every time. But we can understand God makes no... He's a sovereign God, isn't he? He makes no mistakes. And one day we'll understand it all, won't we? We might not understand it now. I will say that probably some of you are sitting here today and you've gone through a circumstance in which it might have seemed like God was working against you, but 10, 15, 20 years maybe down the road, you realized, no, God knew what He was doing. And He understood every moment what He was doing. Think about Daniel. Here's a man who was thrown into a den of lions. God knew what he was doing. Those three Hebrew children that were thrown in that fiery furnace, God knew what he was doing, didn't he? God is always working for you. Would you praise Him for that today? Now we're going to draw our service to a close with an invitation. At our invitation, we always invite you to make a decision based upon the way God's spoken to your heart. Maybe there's somebody here that needs to be saved. We'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can know Jesus as your Savior today. We'll take you to a quiet place and show you right from the Bible how you can know Jesus, not based upon what you've done, but upon what Jesus has done. Maybe there's somebody that needs to make a decision of biblical obedience. Maybe God's speaking to your heart in some way based on the message that was preached this morning. But I'd ask you to consider, as we have this invitation, I'd ask you to consider today in your heart what way God is speaking to you and to do everything that He calls upon you to do. God is working in us. He is working through us. Would you let Him work in you? Would you let Him work through you? He's working around us and He's working for us. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, what way would God maybe perhaps use this message to work in and through you when it comes to the preparation for our Roundup Sunday? We want to have a great day. Not to just say that, the meal was wonderful and the service was wonderful. We want God to do something great, don't we? We want to see visitors here. We want to encourage folks. So what way could God work in you and through you, maybe even in this week in preparation for Roundup Sunday, or maybe in some other way that God has spoken to your heart? Father, thank you for the challenge from the Word of God today. And I thank you for that verse in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, where it says that God works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure.